Never know with this, you know, who's here and who's not here. Okay, first I want to offer a sequel to last week's portion of this series. Last week we spoke about the Isser of being mazik someone else. We saw clearly in Shulchan Aruch that it is usur, not only a matter of having to pay, but even a person willing to make payments in case a hezek happens, he has to prevent damages from happening from himself or his property. And we examined different sources for at least by cases of grama, but by actually making a hezek, the strong indication from the Shulchan Aruch is that it's also like Gezel and Geneva. I reprinted that first piece on the top of today's sheet, which is a Hemshach for the Makaros of the Isser to be Mazik. The Shulchan Aruch says, Geshem shall also lignoi, v'ligzol, mamach, v'erjaz, also to steal, to rob, kach also lahazik, likewise also also to cause damage. And the basis for that, the clearest basis for that, is the statement from Rabbeinu Yehuda, which I give again over here, I repeat. Rabbeinu Yehuda says that Moshe accepted the Torah Shebaal Ksav and Torah Shebaal Peh together. Torah Shebaal Peh complements and explains the Torah Shebaal Ksav. And the prime example he brings, the first is, the Torah says, Lo Sigzol, V'chol HaNizokim, V'chol Oso Halav, every one of the Abbas Nezikin, every kind of damage a person causes someone else, is included as a subcategory under the law of Lo Sigzol, which means by extension you're over Lo Sigzol every time you cause damage to someone else.
I guess it wouldn't have the same halachas on Kefa and all the other.
Correct. And we'll have greater clarity on that tonight, Be'ez Hashem. What we struggled with last time, and I have to tell you, I went back after the shiur was concluded last time and I was still not happy. Really getting a handle on understanding what this Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. Because Gezel or Geneva, Gzela or Geneva being open brazenly or secretly, stealthily done, as Geneva or Gzela might differentiate between themselves, are done by taking something for yourself and doing a Maizakinyan and acquiring it for one's own self, taking away from someone else for yourself. That's what the threshold, the minimum definition of what Gzela Geneva are. If I take a stone and throw it through your window, if I take a stick and break your kalim, or injure another person, Chas V'Shalom, that is not a Maisa Gzela. So what does this Rabbeinu Yonah mean? This is what I really was struggling with last week. And as I continued to ponder it, and based on various different sources, the more I looked into it, without really going into many overwhelming, you know, with quotes, the bottom line, what it boils down to, which I want to show you was a very clear source for that tonight, is that there's two different halakhas in the Torah. There's a law in Isser of Lo Sigzol, and there are dinim of payment, repayment, returning of that which was stolen or robbed, which is Beheshev as a Gzela. There are two different places in the Torah. Lo Sigzol is written in Parshas Kedoshim and Vayikra Yotes, and Beheshev as a Gzela is written in Parshas Vayikra and Vayikra He. There are two different places, two different discussions, two different subjects, and the way the Torah deals with them. And the rules of Kefel by Geneva or Davahei, or the rules of Gzela, including the dinim of Kinyani Gzela and Shinai Koine, that when a person takes something, he becomes fully liable and responsible for it, but to the point that if something changes and breaks in it, then he's going to have to pay full cash value for it, and he keeps the item for himself. He now acquires some kind of rights to it, together with that liability to it. Those rules, as well as the subject in over there in the Parshas of Vayikra, which is a person swears to deny having stolen or robbed something. Later on he admits it or it's found by him. Then he has to bring a karban to a mechaber for that, a karban shua. All those halachais is as far as the consequences, the payments that are going to go after effect. And there we have halachas of what constitutes a ma'aseh gzeila. Short of that ma'aseh gzeila, you're not going to have that. But the issur of lo sigzol is much broader, and that can apply even beyond the scope of where the din of hashavas of a gzeila apply. A very, very sharp example of this case is over here. I gave you in Exhibit 3 over here on the first page. In the Rashi and Chumash. Rashi and Chumash in Parshas Shoftim goes on the pasuk of Losasig Gvul Riacha Asher Govlu Rishainim Benachalos Asher Dinu Chabar Asher Hashem Lekachanois and Lechal Rishtop. Pasuk about coming into Eretz Yisrael, everyone's given their portion of the land. Don't try to stretch the border to be able to take some of your neighbor's land. So if we come in the middle of the night and I move the marker 3 feet over towards it, closer to his house, and now I have a bigger field closer to my house, that's a hasagas gul in the most literal sense, besides competition done properly, improperly. We'll talk about that another time. That's being master gul, literally the gul, the boundary, moving it over and therefore expanding what seems to be my property, actually absorbing some of his. So Rashi and Chumash says, which I quote over here, the third paragraph on the first page, is a quotation out of the Sifri. Rashi says, why does the Torah have to say lo sasa gvul? Riacha, that you shouldn't go in and encroach on his border. Well, look, for Nemar, the pasuk says lo sigzol. The Sifri asks, which Rashi brings down in Chumash. It's over lo sigzol. What do you have to have a new lava lo sasig? It's a gul riacha. About time with lomer, it's lo sasig. Lomer, that person is the eiker, the tchum. She'over b'shnei lavim, he's over on both the lo sigzol and lo sasig. That explains, and the Sifri says, let me just finish this, that's dafka specifically in Eretz Yisrael, where the pasuk says, v'nachalos v'shedinuchol b'arz v'shar shomu kavanoz in l'chol l'rishtah. But in Chutz Loretz, you're only over one lab of lo sigzol. So this Rashi, this Sifri, it's actually, Medrash Tanoim, says that there's a lab of lo sigzol by karka, by land. Now there's no ma'aseh gzeila being perpetrated. I'm not picking up the land and taking it. Right? I'm moving the border marker from here to there. What I'm pulling off is a ruse, a fake, and saying, "Oh, my boundary stretches to there." I'm getting away with a lie, but I'm not taking physically and lifting up and removing from where it was to where it was. The land is still ours, Lomamotis. The land is still where it was yesterday and tomorrow.
You're still gaining something.
I'm gaining something. I'm commandeering your land, right? So if you're away and I go in and I live in your house, I'm taking and living in your house or your property or your whatever, whether your field, without rishus. But there's no ma'aseh gezel. In the din of hashavas gzeila and kinyan gzeila, and those parshas of shuas, carbon shua won't apply over here. Because over here we're not talking about whether there's a din of a hashavas gzeila. Rather, we're speaking over here about whether there is a lo sigzol. And gzeila is the ma'aseh, I'm taking something away from you. So just what we see from over here is a clear case in which the Isser lo sigzol is not bound by the same limitations, the strict definition of the gzeilim greva in terms of the chiyuvim of tashlumim. The Rambam passes this as a brought afterwards of gzeilim straight from the Sifri into the Rambam, and likewise in the Shulchan Aruch, going straight through. So we have over here a precedent to say that these two things can divide. The Isser of Los Sigzol, much broader than the strict definitions and limitations of the din of Kinyan Gzela, as far as when you have to have the Hashavas Gzela and the Kefal and Dal Behei, it has to be in Azushus, Himatsa Biyadai, Chatzero, Karpifo, etc. The Rudrashas Gemara has about when you have all those types of Tashlumim is a entirely separate discussion from when the discussion about when you're over the Isser of Los Sigzol. This is a derisive dikama. Basis where the Rashi is asking, the Sifri is asking, we need to have this lava, you have that lava already. Which we mean is that the rice take a low signal going to be applied over here. Now, there is a Tosafot in the Bava Metzia, next quote, that argues on the Sifri. He doesn't bring down the Sifri, but he clearly holds not like that. And yet, in this Tosafot itself lies the principle that we're bringing out. He argues then because of a technical point. But in the principle, what he's bringing out, this Tosafot itself brings it out. The Gemara over there says, as we spoke earlier, last time, that I really don't need to have the Torah say lo sigzol. If the Torah tells me the isra of onah, of cheating by underpaying or overcharging, the Torah would tell me the isra of ribas, of taking even voluntarily on the borrower's part more than I lent to him, isra of ribas, then I can understand from that I'm not allowed to take something I'm not entitled to by stealing or robbing, lo sigzol. So why the Torah told me lo sigzol? The Gemara says, nechanami, for gzeil you don't need it. And rather, the Gemara assigns it to Kavishkar Sachar, not paying a worker, and there you're over an extra lav. So those ask, a lav the gazalamali, and the Gemara answers the Kavishkar Sachar. And we're now on the fifth quotation on page one. Bim Taimer Frektaisvis, Bulukmi Begazal Gufe, why don't we use a lav of those sigzal in regard to Gzela itself? Ubegazal Avadim, if you steal someone else's slaves, Duliasi Miribas Vahuna, that I wouldn't be able to say, well, I'll be able to learn that from those other two Isurim, the Torah would say Ribas and not say Gezal. I would not know that you're not allowed to steal someone else's slaves. They know no law about it. Get our Miliel. There's a Miut that's only Losonu Isish as a Miso, Miada Misecha Losonu Ishis Achiv, though Dinavona by business is Okono Miada Misecha, when you're acquiring something from the hands of your friend, which is he can hand over to, which is Matatala and movable items. But by Karka or by Avadim that have halachically the same status as Karka, there's no Dinavona. So since there's no Dinavona, you wouldn't be able to learn out from there to Gezel. And therefore, why don't we use the lav over there? But Dry Tozes explains, but I'm only asking, let's use this lav for Avadim. I'm not asking, let's use this lav for Karka. Duha de Karka ain't an exelis, ain't a min a mikra. Dry Tozes is saying more than that even. Had there been a puzzle that says that there's no din of exela by Karka, then that would carry over to Avadim, which have luckily the same status of Karka. Avadim Hukshul Karkos, it says in Parshas Bahar, and as far as your avodim goes, you have to keep them and give them over to your posterity, your children, and further. And they have the same din as a piece of property, a piece of real estate that you give over in inheritance also. So if there would be a gzeira as a kasuv that there's no din of gzeila by karka, it would say by avodim too. But those says no. The harder karka in an gzeila is the fact that karka does not get the din of gzeila. Ain min a mikra, there's no pasuk that says that. And therefore, there's nothing to carry over to Avadim. El mishum diyevshel azuzu b'mekayma. It's just a matter of a technical fact. You can't pick up a piece of land and move over somewhere else. You can pick up some dirt, and then it becomes a tatlin. You can't pick up a geographic location on the globe and move it somewhere else. The location is still going to remain static. And therefore, you can't move it. And that's why it doesn't apply. But by Avadim, I could take your Eved from your plantation and move him over to my farm and make him work over here. Avil Avdi, Denaidi, that are movable. Avagav, the Hukushal, because even though Allah, they have the same status, Yavavavalo Sigzal. So this Tosis is saying, as far as Karka goes, it's not possible to have even the Isra of those Sigzal. Because over here, Tosis is not talking about the Dinam of Hashavas of Gzela. He's talking about, what are we going to do with the Lava Lo Sigzal? What are you Lo Sigzal for? Oh, it's going for a pile, not paying a pile that have two lav. No, let's have the lav for this. But for Karka, of course, that's impossible because you can't steal Karka. So Toza over here is refusing to accept the concept of the Sifri. Over there, there's no low sigzel. It's not possible. Toza understands that if without some kind of taking, some kind of moving, some kind of taking possession and control, now, you don't have a gezel to start off, even as far as the Isra goes. But for a Vadim, where that's possible, then you will be able to have an Isra with those sigzel. So on that, the Marsha asks Akasha, next paragraph. That how could Tosu say that it's only a matter of a physical fact that you can't move Karka, but it's not a halachic principle that's learned out from a Pasik? Tosu says, Hoda Karka in a gezel ain't a min a mikra, it's not learned out from a Pasik. Frankly, Marshall, it's not true. Yes, this matrikar kosh in an exalts mekhalal prada klam b'avakam b'kuf yitzayin. The Gemara has a whole limud, an elaborate limud, to say that kiten isha re'eyo klal things lishmor is prat klal brat klal b'leim for mash b'leim prat my problem first over that's metalto with gufa mama and I've called over metalto with gufa mama as opposed to karka which is not metalto and it's a bottom milk sugar coast and staros is not gufa mama whereas it got a limit for it same limit appears in shuas in regard to shuas and ribbis and all each one the gemara brings a klal brat klal like that it is a limit so what's trying to say it's not a limit. Zogt b'nei Yeshua, which I bring out right there. Of course it's a limud. It's a limud in the halachas of Ashava, with pasuk vayikra hey, that's where you have the limud. Tishnismatu, rak midin hashava, tashlumim, as far as having to pay back, in the kevel and dalad hey, or shinoi kaina, or kol gazlom hashava shachas gazela, and din of shinoi kaina, and din karman shua, that they're all learned from the pasuk hashava gazela, which comes from yikra hey chav gimel. Avo, there's Lord words of Bnei Yeshua. Avo, Lamayin, Meisag, Zelo, Shmano. There's no puzzle that tells us. There's no dinner of Isag, Gezo. The Lav, Zelo, Lo, Kasa, Bahayin, Yona. The puzzle is not, Zelo, is not even that same Parsha. It's 10 Prakam away in Vayikra Yotes and in Parsha's Kedoshim. It's a completely different Parsha. Over there, there's no cloud, or brown cloud. So Bnei Yeshua is saying, Pshana, this very Tosus that's disagreeing with the Sifri, the Tosus himself is saying, in principle, the Isser of Geneva and the Chiyuvei Hashava are two different worlds. They're not dependent upon each other. Which,
how do you have
Hashava that's not Zeila? Why didn't you
tell you about Hashava? If the Torah became a little bit of a voice,
there won't be Hashava.
He's saying that the Mara's Nimud has come to be made from the Din Hashava and the Tashlumin. But if the Torah never told you that there's Zeila by Karka, so of course there's no.
Nachum's over asking a very good question. Bnei Yeshua, as Taiji Tosa say, or Tosa himself would be saying it by Avadim, that even though, let's talk about Karka. By Karka, Tosa is saying that it's not possible to have a gezel because it's Yevshel Zosim Makom is a physical fact. So, what do I need by Karka? A miut of a cloud product cloud, there's no din of Hashava and Tashlumim. Mishlam, according to Sifri, Osigzol is broader and will apply even more on Karka. So maybe you say, din of Hashava. So there's a miut to say, no, there's no din of Hashava. According to Tosafot, that saying, that's not physically possible to have a gazelle occur by Karka. So what do I need to have a miyot there? How could I have a havamina that you would have to make tashlumim by karka if there's no yisur of gazel? Excuse me? The pasik, the avadim is learnt out from karka. But the limud is ki tenishal re'eo kesev o kalim lishmor, which is metaltalin as opposed to karka. And then we say that once the karka is established like that, then avadim take on the same din.
Then there will be a type of karka that has zero. How karka happen?
Okay. You know, there is such a situation. There are two situations. One situation is called an utzus nukov. If you have a planter with a hole on the bottom which nourishes from the ground, but you could physically take it and move it about, and has, let's say, a tree growing in it or something like that. So that has a din of mechubar l'karka, but you could physically move it. So then an actual mice exhale could happen, and then still there won't be a din of carbon shua or get cable to it. Number one. Number two is, if I lend you, the next one is going to quote this, is more on shuas. If I lend you five... the grapevines for you to pick and use up. And you say, next year I'll give you back five and the new ones that I'll plant and grow for you. Well, the next year you refuse and you say, I don't never borrow anything. Or you're just willing to give me two. And I said, I only got two and I don't want to talk about five. So then you're denying karka, but it's a gezel because you actually took it and consumed it, and you don't want to return the same kind of similar thing because of a denial of that kind of thing happening. But even so, there won't be a din of the hishav as a gezel or the chiyav karban or those halachas wouldn't apply in that kind of case. It will be limited to particular cases, to situations.
In those cases, you wouldn't have, you would need a bit, because in those cases, they're public.
That's right. Correct. You would have the, both the Isser and potentially the Chiyav Hashava. You would have both then at that point, in that case. So this is the point of an issue is bringing out, which is the basic principle that we saw from the Rashi and the Sefri, is that these two things are really separate. I brought down afterwards a Tosen Bava Kama that says in principle, like the Sefri, by saying that by a case of Asagas Gvul is one case in which you actually have Gezel occurring, even though there's no physical Maisa taking the land away, but now including that into my estate rather than yours is going to be a low sigzol, which is what the Sefri holds and not like what the Tosen Bava Si holds.
So if you're massive Gvul, you don't have to put the Gvul back?
Well, I'm going to have to. Not because Los Asos didn't Hashav is made, because it's still his. Every single minute, I'm over Los Asos. Every single minute, I'm over Los Igzo.
So that's the same thing with what he's asking, even though there's no mitzvah Hashav.
Right.
But you have to return it anyhow.
That's right. I'll have to return it. But what happens if it got destroyed? Right? If someone blew up the whole place over here. I won't have to pay you for anything. Right? Which by Gezel, if when I still I have to return it to you because it's yours. But now an Eidus Gomer happened and it got broken. Right, I'll have to still pay you Kain Shagol, so its value, because I would be chayiv at the time that I stole it. That's only if I became a Gazlan. If I never became a Gazlan, I could say, well, I'm sorry, you know, this happened, it's not my fault. Or a rope broke out, and a bomb came right over here, and not my doing. A Gazlan will still be chayiv on it. According to Tosin Bamasiya. According to the well, there won't be any of these. So we'll have to go back to the after the Kamecha and the Shavas Aveda and those kinds of things. Right, there won't be a lot on the Torah on it. Okay.
Could you explain the question that's asked in the case of Rashi and the Sifri as to why do you need
Losasig? Why not just have Losigzo?
Yeah,
okay, what's the problem?
What are other things from Los Sassi other than the actual issue?
Yeah, really?
You're not allowed to come in if you're...
Competition.
Right.
Yeah, you don't learn that out from Los Sassi. That's a Lashon Mushal, just a borrowed expression. What the Isser about competition, Bliner will talk about that in a shir of its own. But you're not over Los Sassi Gvul Reacha when you do improper competition. It's just a good catchphrase. Okay, we don't actually learn out from that pasuk. Okay, and then finally, the bottom of the page, I brought down one interesting idea, which is very worthwhile and fits into this. That is that there's a Rashbam in Babasra. Nice idea to know. So it's a remote find, but to know this Rashbam. Rashbam over there says that if you walk over someone else's property or you take your animals over someone else's property, his land, his field, you're over an Isser of Shosh Shlomidas, which has a din of a gazlan. Now, if I take your car and take it for a joyride and return it without damaging it, I stole something. Right? Shosh Lomidas is a gazlan. If I come in to leave your, I don't know, something that I would think that you would be makbid on. If you leave your tefillin around, we assume that a person doesn't mind someone who uses it, does a mitzvah with it. But if something that a person doesn't want someone else to use, I have no right to, I'll take your raincoat. I just need to run out to get it to get something, come back. Don't take your raincoat. I don't leave my raincoat to be free for all for everyone. I'll bring it back. I'm not planning to steal it. Shosh Lomidas is a gazlan. But then when I take your raincoat or when I take your car, I did a Maisig Zela. I took it. But when I walk over your ground or when I trespass through your property, which is a very common situation, many people make a shortcut through someone else's yard or whatever business, whatever it might be. So then there's a din of trespassing. Rashbam over here says it's also a din Shosh Lomidas, which has a din of a gazlan. Now again, you have the issue, if I walk through your land, I took your land, I picked it up, I made a Maisig Zela. You don't have that. But just like Rashi is saying, it's Los Sasig is also Los Sigzol, Rashbam is saying the trespassing is also over in Los Sigzol.
Even if there's no damage?
even though there's no damage. If it's something that, unless you have an umna that I wouldn't mind. So if it's, your front parking lot, it's open for everyone to park there anyways. If I want to just go and walk across there, there's no trespassing. But if I want to now go in and park 10 trucks over there, you probably won't be so happy because you want your customers to come to your store. Right? So did I steal your land? Well, it's a kind of stealing. You know, people pay for parking rights. People pay, you know, certainly we need to have to, they measure probably how many parking places you need, and when we build our shul, an apartment building, this amount of, you know, people pay for parking spaces, and it's an asset. A shopping center has to have a certain amount of spaces, you know, per whatever the formula is. And now I'm going to start parking my trucks over there. Each one occupies three spaces, and I have 10 trucks. So then you don't have your customers who can't come over here. So what I usually say, get our things off. I'll get them off tomorrow, right? I'll call the police on you. What did I do wrong? You're stealing. Stealing what I steal. This Rosh Brahma says that's stealing. And this Rosh Brahma is a makor for the Israel trespassing. And likewise, you know, walking through, what? This case is Zen Edev, is Zeh Chaser. This case is Zeh Chaser. And generally it's Zeh Chaser. First of all, there's wear and tear as people come through over here. Soon they think that they have a right to, and they beat a path through my private garden. Second of all, I lose my privacy in my backyard. I want to be able to have a little showers party with my kids in the backyard, and soon people are taking a shortcut because they want to be able to get to the, you know, the street that connects them. Otherwise, they'll have to go all the way around. Well, so I'm very sorry. That's where you live. This is where I live. You know, my backyard is not a public park. If it would really not affect you at all, we might even be saying Kleven on Midas Tom and say that it's wrong to stop him.
But the guy himself, it's not the guy himself, he shouldn't do it.
No, it's wrong for you to stop me. It's a Zen and a Zilla Kosser. If it's Kleven on Midas Tom, if it's not going to bother you at all, then why should you? But generally speaking, we say it does bother. There are valid reasons as to want to have my space available for me or my privacy not to be encroached upon. This Rosh Bam says it goes on to Din of Gzela. This is the makor for that.
And also, if Reuven comes and puts a padlock on the front door of my house, so I can't use my house, that's the same.
No, not none of the above. No, there I haven't used it. I haven't taken it. It's a grumma of withholding for you usage of your own house, which goes into the Din of Grumma that in Potter Al Bid Odom Chayvei Shemayim. We'll have to talk about that by the Shem. That's going to come up on the bottom of the next sheet. Which we won't get to tonight. We would have to make an assessment about whether a person under these circumstances would be marked on it. It was an undeveloped piece of land. I would assume that no one's marked on it. Nothing's happened over here. Except I have to qualify that. Because there's liability. And I don't want someone over there to go and get hurt and trip and whatever and then go and sue me, which they could do, even though I don't live over there, it's vacant and I live in whatever, in Medina Siam. But it's my property, I could have liability. You could say, well, that if that would be the case, I would put up signs and I would put up a fence. Maybe yes, maybe no, I don't know the legal aspects of that rule of liability. So that's one issue. But if it's a developed property, it's a place that has my private house, the fact that I go to Eretz Yisrael for the summer or to camp in the Catskills, whatever it is, I have my bungalow there, and I'm away for 2 months, therefore my house becomes hefker and my backyard becomes hefker. I don't want everyone to start poaching over there and all the homeless people to better set up a shop over there. I don't want it. Why don't I want it? I can tell you 10 reasons why I don't want it. You can think about these, at least five of them yourself.
Someone's not taking the food from his backyard tree. He's not there.
That's Gezel.
Why should
that be
awesome?
That's Mamash Gezel. That's Mamash taking an item that's not yours.
Yeah, but he's within us. The food will become spoiled. People won't exist anymore when he comes back.
Well, maybe one out of 10 will still exist. I'd rather have all 10 of them stay over there. One of them will still be there, and I'll get it. Or maybe I'll ask one of my neighbors or my son-in-law or my cousin over here to go in and gather them for me. That's my business. You know, that's mamish on my zayla, to go and take an apple off my tree. Now, if I never harvest my apples and everyone in the neighborhood knows, free for all, anyone welcome, come and take. Okay, so that's his das of this Baal Bus. But if a person, in my home when I grew up, we had a cherry tree in our backyard, and I used to go and climb up the roof and climb up over there, and I used to harvest the cherries myself. We washed them off and we ate them. Father Kasher never told me I shouldn't do it, and we had good cherries, homegrown, fresh. I didn't want someone else to go over there with a ladder and start picking our cherries. Those were my cherries.
Drive the backyard. Can I put up a fence?
This gets into a halacha that, if you want, we can make a discussion about shvil shechzika bo rav ma'asu l'kalkalai. Once I allow a flow of public traffic over some extended period of time, then I now am meichlet and maknet to the tzibur, and now I can't go and take it back from them. There's no one else even there to be able to deal with and say, guys, I want to reacquire it. There's no, the next 5 people coming over, the next 10 people coming back over a year don't represent anything. So then what if for some extended period of time, I don't know with the guideline on that, I allow a free flow of people through my backyard to the connecting whatever behind an apartment building or building or street, then once I give that in, I can't take that back. That itself was a reason why Metchila, many people would want to be mocked. But not because it bothers me right now, but I don't want to have a permanent net right established. What happens if I do want to later on do start having some private stuff in the back? Or I do want to have whatever circumstances might change. So, Shvil Shechzika Bo Rav, once it's established, it's very difficult to take back. But it's a reason to be mocked Metchila. But the Chiddush we see in this Rashi, is the Rashbam, is that trespassing is considered to be a Maisa Gezel. This is certainly true by parking in a apartment building that has numbers for all of its residents, and they have 2 over the side for a visitor, right? Okay, but those 2 are occupied, and I need to go and visit my aunt that lives over here, so I go and park over there in space number 103. Now, when the person lives in cab 103, there's someone right now in my space. So I'll tell him, well, go to the next one, go 104. Yeah, then I'm going to have to get in a fight with my 104 neighbor. She wants to move into parking in 103. So I have no right to park over there. Or next to a professional building where it says 3 spots are reserved for the management or whatever it might be. I'm going to go park over there. That's my Mamashmaisa Gezel. It's not just Nitshane. Not so nice, right? It's Maisa Gezel. That belongs right now to Mr. So-and-so, the whatever officer he is. I don't mock if you want to adopt it, but park my parking space over here. I'm not going to call you. But, generally speaking, it's parking spaces are a commodity. They're exclusive rights. And it's over Los Sigzel. Excuse me?
The real question is the
handicap spot. Who's it belong to? It's always on private property. There's no handicap spots on public property. So it's in the apartment building or the shul property or the shopping center. It belongs to something. And they now designated, say, they want their handicapped customers to be able to come over here. So the same thing as the customer with the truck. I want handicapped people to come in and frequent my place. And if they're going to come over here, even 1 time out of 3 or 1 time out of 10, and they're going to someone else park, they say, forget it, I'm not coming again anymore. Right? So I lost my customer. So I'm not stealing from the handicapped person. He doesn't have any rights on it. It doesn't belong to him. The property owner has a reason he wants to have that. It might be imposed by the government regulations, but why is that? Like, that's my requirement.
If you have a sort of, there's going to be extra spots left, there's 10 spots, and there's never more than 3 taking.
Okay, I can't make assessments as a rule on cases. If you would have an ability to be able to say that for sure the balabas doesn't mind, and he just put over here these excessive amount of handicap spots because that's the some kind of requirement, or because his board was really handicap sensitive, so they put up a whole row over here of all the handicap spaces, but no one ever used them.
It's 2:00 in the morning.
Okay. Say nechanami. So then you have a case that you could probably make an assessment that no one's mocking on it. In theory, that could work. But if generally speaking, certainly during busier times, it's supposed to be available for the guy that wants to come in over here. And there are people. We all know in the community of people that could hardly walk a couple steps and they come up with a walker. And and for them it's a terrible inconvenience for you. For you. Well, I had to go. I did daven mincha, right? Is the biggest excuse always, right? And someone else has to. You know what? Maybe you should daven at home rather than do over the sigzel. So you should also be careful about driving up some streets, zoom, 65 arrows an hour, miles an hour, because I have to get to mincha. It's a very dangerous hour for kids to play outside right before mincha. That's just a note by the aside, but for community service.
Friday
afternoon, Hashem Yerachem. We have some Atzalah people over here. They know about Friday afternoon. So we all get ready for Shabbos on Thursday because Friday's good. Okay.
Cutting through. I know a lot of people cut through to get to the Berger Shul. On Shabbos, so I know
there's a place by Meltzer that he made it especially for that.
Just for Shabbos, but right. They're cutting through Green's Willowbrook apartments. Is that an issue? Should they be asking?
There's no trespassing sign there, and it's a large complex with a lot of people coming in and going, and they all have guests and whoever they want to have, and they don't put on controls. If they would, and Heather Ridge, whatever, you have a controlled kind of a place, or if you say. You know, residents only. Okay, so that they stay ruled. Otherwise, it's public. It's available for the public. They're not mafkid. Again, you have to. It's a case by case assessment on that kind of thing. What is how it's used, how it's controlled, and what umdana of what their grade is. That's my assessment as far as this particular case.
The streets that used to be two-way and then they cut off part of it, like by Falstaff and Clark, they took off part of it, so now it's only one way. Going the other way down, going the wrong way down that little
path. What's wrong with going through a stop sign? What's wrong going through a red light? So one problem is that it's dangerous. Yeah. But again, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. No one's around over here. I mean,
it's not Gazela.
Right, it's not Gazela. The stretch of Gazela is that the public streets belong to the government, and the government makes its rules. And therefore, if you don't play by their rules, then get off their ball court. That's how the stretch could be, but it's not really like that.
Not Dina Malchus
Adina? It is Dina Malchus Adina. Right, but does Dina Malchus Adina make it Gezel, or does it even make it Usser? Dina Malchus Adina is a right to levy taxes and control monetary arrangements and decide the property rights. It's all in terms of the mumminess of it. But can they make an isser that it's usser for you to do something? Very questionable. There's no real basis for that. They could set standards of common practice. And therefore, by the general rule, you have to adhere to that. Mostly, it's safety issues, like for instance, speeding. Right, so they say 65, that means up to 75 is okay. That's why they won't give you a ticket until 75. But you're going down 85 down the highway, you'll probably be okay, right? But you are increasing the risks for yourself and anyone else around. So that's a matter of a safety issue. Adina Malchus Adina can also control the presumptions of understandings. Like, for instance, if they have certain rules of employment or of tenancy, of a landlord to tenant kind of rights, that if you don't cancel out by 30 days in advance, and automatically renews. So that becomes the stam das b'nei adam when I rent or when I employ, that there's certain guarantees I'm going to give them. That becomes now the minhag hamedina, that they establish what the minhag hamedina is. But can they really make an isser that if you went through a stop sign at 2 o'clock in the morning and no one was around, then you have to clap al chet that I went through a stop sign. There's no real makor that I know of that they can actually create an isser on that. Rabbanan could create an isser. But they're making convention, and they do have a right then to give you a ticket. If there's a cop out there, you know, just waiting for you, he's going by at 2 o'clock in the morning and he sees you, he has a right to give you a ticket, and you have to pay that ticket then. But if he doesn't give you the ticket, did you really do a mice isser? It's dangerous, and therefore it's also an issue of Chilul Hashem, because if someone else sees you and you're this guy over here with a black hat on and whatever else, that they recognize a Jewish face, and all these Jews, they don't care about the civil law. That's another issue about Chilul Hashem, but per se it's not the issue of it. that Dina Malchusa Dina is a is a subject of its own.
Can it make it a monthly more liable? Like, let's say you went the wrong way down there and you got an accident, then not
legally. Right. So let me come back to what the question was asked before. If they make, let's say, the end of Falstaff Road near Clark's Lane Sands out to make it to be a one-way. So if I turn it over there, so first of all, I'm making that accident. But I look, even at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I look and there's no moving vehicles down the Falstaff. So I decide to make a right instead of going and making a whole hakafa. I'll make it right over here. I'll just go down to the Falstaff. I have to right over there. The next corner is where I have to get to. And it's a shortcut. So am I stealing? Who am I stealing from? The land doesn't, the ground over there doesn't, the street doesn't belong over there to those homeowners that want it to be an exclusive neighborhood and made it into a one-way. They can't put up a one-way sign. So they went and they petitioned whatever government office does these things. And they said, fine, whatever you guys want. They put it, they made it like that. They even made an extension over there on the road with a little garden over there. Made. They, you know, if that's what the neighbors want, so the government doesn't mind accommodating. But I'm not stealing from the neighbors. I'm not stealing from the government over there. Am I making over here a safety hazard? If there's no one coming on, it's probably not any kind of safety hazard either. I think the biggest thing we're talking about is Chilul Hashem. They say, you know, all the secular people respect their secular laws, and these religious people don't respect their secular laws. They look down at that. And it's probably a Chilul Hashem, but that's why you shouldn't do it.
Didn't you just say
before? That's a private. No, that's a private property of mine that I've let for last year people have public access to walk through my backyard in order to get through the place behind it, and I've not been mocked, but then I've given a gift to the public that it's now theirs. That's a private arrangement now between the homeowner and the public. He's giving them their rights. By acquiescing silently, that's what we do. He's giving it over to them. But that's his property. He can give it away. This street over here, Falstaff Avenue, does not belong to the people that are the homeowners on around it. It's not a Mavli Shel Yechidim. It's a public street of the city of Baltimore. The city is willing to put up a sign: no stopping over here, no parking over here. You could have almost any sign that you want. You get it by request if there's no objection to it for the neighbors. So you say, we want to make it one way. We'll make it a one way.
The neighbors are within their rights halachically to change.
Oh, you're asking like this. It was a shvul shel chazikah v'rabim for two-way traffic until now for many years, and now they want to go and change that. But they're taking that away from the rabim. Right, that's a good time. So they're saying, "Oh, we didn't do it; the government did it." Right, but of course, that's only a mechanics of how you get it to be done. So they're really taking away the public's right to be able to have two-way access to that corner, and now they took that away from us. It's a very good time, Montali. That's a very good time. But of course, it's anonymous; it's a faceless kind of person. You can have a tiny. Oh, I don't know. No one can stand behind it.
Let the homeowners challenge. If you objected to what we're doing, you should come to the hearing.
I never heard of the hearing. So that's my fault, right?
Who says there was a hearing in the first place?
I have no idea. I remember when it was a two-way street. I used to live over there 35 years ago. Okay. Yeah, that's a good taina. I didn't have what you were saying. That's a very good taina. Okay, so this concludes the discussion about the issur of doing a hezek, a little sigzal of Rabbeinu Yaina, and expands it to include karka and including specifically trespassing, and a little touching on to Din Machuzni as well. The second page in Merchan, which is two new subjects entirely, stay tuned, Baz Hashem, next week. Guys, thank you for coming.